am ready to preach the word this morning. Hallelujah. Are you ready to hear?
Amen.
Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Are you ready to respond?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We've been started a series last week on the goodness of God. On the goodness of God. And man, I am so excited about this series because it is such a very good series. We talked last, just to kind of give you a, really about a minute or so refresher. Last week we talked about how that God stores up great things for us. That he stores these things up for us. We talked about how he prepares them. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared. He has prepared. In other words, God has gone ahead of us, and he has prepared wonderful things for us. And he says, but here's the good news. Even though eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, for them that love him, for them that love him, right? It's not for everybody. It can be for everybody. Everybody has the ability to get in on it, but what eye has not seen, and neither is ear heard, neither is entered to the heart of man, but things that God has prepared for them that love him, these things are revealed to us by his Spirit. How many know that in 2020, that would be a great year for us to become more attuned to what the Spirit of God is saying?
Amen.
It would be a great year, starting even now, for us to become more adjusted to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? He didn't send the Holy Spirit just so we could say we have the Holy Spirit. He didn't send the Holy Spirit just so we could say, oh, I received the Holy Spirit. I got the baptism of the Spirit. I can speak in tongues. Woohoo! No, that was the beginning. That wasn't the end. Right? We need to become adjusted to hearing what the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every one of us individually and as a church, right? So he says that, you know, he stored things up, he prepared things, right? He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? So we're going to pick up right there and we're going to move on today in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, now I'm going to read this verse out of the Message. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. He says this. He says, my task, this is Paul under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says, my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. That's it? I thought it was better than that. Okay, did I read the right verse? Let me read it again. Okay, so this is what he's saying. We're talking about the goodness of God. Paul says, my task is to bring out into the open and to make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. What does that mean? God is working behind the scenes for you. God is working when it looks like things aren't happening. You got to know God is working behind the scenes on your behalf. And Paul says, my task is to bring these things that God's been doing. My task is to bring these things out into the open. See, the Bible talks about things being a mystery, right? Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God reveals these mysteries, the King James says. He reveals these mysteries to us, these mysteries. God, in other words, God is not holding stuff from you. He's holding stuff for you. What does it take for us to get the things that God is holding for us? How do we get these things from being a mystery to where now they're manifesting in our lives? Growing up and saying, you know what? I'm tired of living this life according to the flesh. I'm gonna start learning how to hear from the Spirit of God, because he says they're revealed by his Spirit. We're going to look at that verse again a little bit later, but in a different translation, and it'll be good. But Paul says, my task is to bring it out into the open and to make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Ephesians chapter 3, we're right there. Let's jump down to verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. says it this way. How many know God is a good God?
Amen.
There's never a place in the whole Bible that says God is a bad God. That God is a mean God. Right? But yet, it seems like a lot of people have more confidence in the fact that God is a bad God instead of that God is a good God. But the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and every perfect gift comes down from God. Perfect, not being flawless, not like, you know, we think of perfection as like flawless. We look at the little baby that was just born. Oh, that baby's so perfect. That baby ain't perfect. That baby, I don't care if it's your baby. That baby is not perfect in the sense of flawlessness. I promise you, not a human being is born that one foot and both feet are not the exact symmetrical same size. That's why when we go to try on shoes, you have to figure out which foot is bigger and go with that one. Because if you go with the wrong foot, then one foot's going to be tight. Why? Because one foot's just a little bit bigger. It's not like a massive flaw. It doesn't inhibit us from being able to do things. But nothing is perfect in that sense except for God. God is perfect. He is flawless. He is flawless in who he is. He is flawless in his leadership. He is flawless in his abilities. Right? But he says every good and perfect gift. That word perfect really means complete. Complete, lacking nothing. So God, every good and complete gift, every perfect gift comes down from who? God. Why? Because God's good. See, we need to build our faith in the goodness of God, and that's why we're on this series, right? So let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 3, I love this, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this. It says, now, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, now to him who... Now, Amplified is, I like Amplified because it amplifies, but it adds a few extra words. That's why it's Amplified, right? So just bear with me here. It says, now to him, God, who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and, watch this, do superabundantly, far over, and above all that we dare, everybody say dare. All that we dare to ask or think, watch this, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. You can't dream too big for God. You can't ask too big for God. In fact, God wants you to dream bigger. He wants you to ask bigger. He wants you to hope bigger. Well, I don't want to hope too much. I don't want to be disappointed. Come on, who is your hope in? Who is your hope in? If your hope's in your husband, then you might be dreaming a little too big. If your hope's in your wife, you might be dreaming too big. But if you got your hope in God, it is never too big. Never, ever is it too big. I want to tell you this story that I came across the other day in studying this and listening and whatever this. I was listening to Jerry Savelle along these lines, and he tells this story. Anybody know who Oral Roberts is? A few of you. Well, he's the guy who built the Oral Roberts University down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, the Oral Roberts Hospital and all this kind of stuff. I can't remember what it's called, a City of Faith Hospital, whatever. Anyways, Jerry Savelle is going down to I forgot what country he's in, somewhere in Africa. Anyway, he's going down there, and he's going to be meeting with the president of the nation because it was on Jerry Savelle's heart and for his ministry to build a hospital down there to help the people in that country. And so he's going down there, and before he leaves, he stops by to say hi to Oral Roberts. And, you know, Oral Roberts was like his mentor, and he learned a lot up under him anyway. And he says, oh, you're going? He says, I want to go with you. Oral Roberts did. And Jerry Savelle's like, if you want to go, whatever. So anyway, so he gets on the plane with him, and he goes down there with him, and they go into this meeting, But the president had an emergency, so the president couldn't be there, but he sent the vice president and some of his cabinet to hear what Jerry Savelle was talking about. and what he was wanting. And so he's sitting in there, and they're having this meeting. They're for 35 minutes, Jerry Savelle's presenting his plan, his strategy. We want to do this. This is going to help your country, because we're going to hire contractors here to build it. We're going to hire people here to overlook it. So this is going to help your country on a lot of levels. And all the time he's talking, he's got Oral Roberts is sitting. Now, Oral Roberts is like up in his 70s or so by now, right? And already told him, I can't preach as long as I used to. I don't move as fast as I used to, but I want to go with you. He says, fine. So he comes and he comes to the meeting with him. So he's sitting over here at the end to his right. And all the time Jerry is giving this presentation, I mean, Oral Roberts is like, he grabs a tissue and he's writing something, wads it up, throws it at the end of the table. Does it again. I mean, he's still going on with the president, but in his peripheral vision, he can see Oral Roberts is like writing something, wads it up, throws it at the end table. And he's in his mind, he's thinking, Oral, what are you doing? The vice president of the nation and his cabinet are sitting right here. We're trying to do business, and you're wadding up stuff, throwing it at the end of the table. And finally, he goes on anyway. Oral finally writes what he's going to write, and then he hits Jerry on the shoulder. He says, here, read this. And he said, no, I'll read it when we get back to the room. I'm in a very important meeting. So he handed it back to him. And then he hit him in the shoulder again and says, no, read this. He said, I told you I'll read it later. And so finally he hit him. He said, read this. And he finally told him, he said, fine. He said, excuse me, Mr. Vice President. Oral Roberts wants me to read something. I'll be right back with you in just a moment. He's looking at it. He goes, I have no idea what that says. Hits him in the shoulder again. Says, study it until you understand it. And he's like, I don't know what it says. And hits him in the shoulder again. He said, study it and look at it until you know what it says. So he finally looks at it and he goes, Oral, I have no idea what this says. Just tell me what it says. He says, it's Oral Roberts spelled backwards. And he's like, are we boring you with this? This is an important meeting. We're trying to get a hospital built down here. You've already said that you would commit nurses and doctors from the City of Faith and Oral Roberts University to come and staff it. And what are you doing? Are we boring you? He goes, yes, you're boring me. He goes, you're boring me. He's boring me. All of you are boring me. Everybody in this room bores me. And he goes, how are we boring you? He goes, because you're thinking too small. He says, you're asking for a certain amount of land to build this thing on, and I'm telling you, it's going to take 10 times that much land, and they're asking the government to give them this land. He says, and you're asking for this much. It's going to take 10 times that much land to go. You need to ask them for 10 times that much land. And Jerry's like, well, I feel impressed with the Lord to tell you to ask them for it. And he goes, he looks at him, he says, he needs 10 times that much land to do what he says he wants to do. You need to give him 10 times that much land. And the vice president looks at him and goes, okay. And he looked at Jerry, he says, don't you ever think small in my presence again. Amen. Come on, God wants us to think big. God is not limited in resources, and he's not limited in reserves. God can do anything that we can believe him for. Anything. Anything that this word promises, God can and will bring it to pass. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy. Now watch, let's look at this verse again with that in mind. He says that he wants to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think. You know, when I see that word dare, I'm from the South. Right? So I understand that word dare, because down in the South, we have this thing called a double dog dare. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? It's kind of bled on up in here, whatever. I don't know. But come on, listen. Listen, a double dog. And you just don't back down from a double dog dare. And I feel like God's showing us in the scriptures, he's saying, I double dog dare you to believe me for this. God, why? Because God is a good God. And he wants to do good to you. How many of us are limiting the goodness of God because of our small, weak, anemic thinking? I want us to go out of here today going, no, I'm not a small thinker no more. I'm going to believe God for the biggest, right? The best. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe him for big things. I'm a big thinker. I remember, and you've heard me tell this, I went to a church several years ago, and as I walked in, they gave me this little bulletin or whatever, and on the front, I don't even know what was on the inside of the bulletin. I don't even know if I even got to the inside of the bulletin, because the front caught my attention. It says, dare to believe God for a dream that's destined to fail without divine intervention. Dare to believe God for a dream that is destined to fail. In other words, it's a dream so big, there ain't no way you can bring it to pass. You and your family, you and your team, you and your group of people, you and your CEOs, you and your whoever's. Ain't no way you can bring this to pass unless somebody divinely gets involved. Dare to dream a dream that's destined to fail without divine intervention. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's where this church is going. That's where this church is going. Hallelujah. And this is where you guys are going individually. Right? But he says he wants to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. And I love the next word. If you will live that way, you'll get the next verse. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To him be the glory. Hallelujah. Everybody say, to him be the glory. Come on, say it again. To him be the glory. Come on, God's double dog daring you to believe big. To believe big, because he is way, as my dad always taught me to say, as I always heard my dad say, he's way gooder than you think. He is gooder and gooder. He gets gooder and gooder and gooder. And I've experienced that as I've been studying this and reading things along these lines and listening and just absorbing all this. You know, I mean, I always mess this up. The deeper I dig, the gooder he gets. Oh, well, it's not really that he gets any gooder. It's just that he's beginning to reveal to me how much gooder he gets, how much gooder he is, should I say. Amen. God is a good God, and he does gooder things. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you getting anything out of this today? Yeah. Glory to God. I completely forgot to start my time, so let me know. Okay. All right. Here we go. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Back up a page or two. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 7. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 says this. And I'm reading this out of the Amplified Classic as well. It says here. Let's just back up. Verse 6, he says, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So we are seated together with him in that place of authority, right? At the right hand of God, because we are in Christ by virtue of us being in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you know what I would do? I would get in Christ. If I wasn't saved, you know what I would do? I'd get saved. If I didn't trust God, you know what I would do? Start trusting God. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 7. He did this for a purpose. I mean, no, God never does anything without a purpose. He doesn't just go around flippantly doing things, which means he didn't birth you flippantly. Rather, you think you're an accident, mistake, or whatever somebody might have told you. No, you're here, and God put a purpose in you the moment you were conceived. So you have a purpose no matter what, right? And he did this for a purpose. He seated us at the right hand of God. Watch this. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come. Now, I want to stop right there because I want you to understand. When he says through the ages to come, he's not talking about in heaven. Because we have that tendency to think, oh, in ages to come, oh, we through eternity with the Lord in heaven. No, he's not talking about, I looked that up, that word ages means a span of time that perpetually happens. One Bible commentary says it this way, that he was going to bless us generationally, successively. So in other words, God wants to put his blessing on us. He wants to show us his goodness from generation to generation to generation. Paul is looking into the Spirit in this moment when he says he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come. That's through the ages from Paul forward. So it's not just when we get to heaven. Well, everything will be all good when we get into sweet by and by. Whatever. No, God wants to bless you now. He wants you to experience his goodness now. Not in the sweet by and by, in the nasty here and now. Right? Right here. What good does it do God to do a bunch of good things for us in heaven where everything's good? That's not... There's no way that is demonstrating. What's he saying? I want to demonstrate in heaven the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing power of my goodness. No, he wants it to do it now because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws people to him. The world is waiting to see. Romans tells us the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Male sons and female sons. Sons, he's not talking about gender. He's talking about the people of God. The world is waiting for us to begin to walk in the manifestation of the goodness of God, and it's going to draw them to want to know more about God. So God needs you to experience the goodness of God. And God needs me to experience the goodness of God. Amen. Isn't that good? He says he did this, watch this, that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come, watch this, the immeasurable. You know what that means? It cannot be measured. The immeasurable, limitless. How many know God is not a limited God? So you agree that God is an unlimited God? You really do? Okay. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis that we are created in his image, after his likeness. You know what that makes? That makes you limitless. That makes you immeasurable. That makes you unstoppable. Glory to God. And if this stuff don't make you shout and dance, I don't know what will. We got to check your pulse. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and watch this, in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. So you might sit there and think, that dude has got way too much energy, but I'm just getting a revelation of the goodness of God. I got energy at 52. What about you? Come on. And no, I didn't particularly have an amazing week this week. Well, he just had a really great week, so he's just really excited about life. No, I'm excited in spite of what the devil tries to throw at me. Because he's a liar, and God is so much gooder than the devil can be badder. His eternal goodness far outweighs anything the enemy can throw at you. It's when you stand on his word and you praise him for the victory in the midst of the storm that it begins to cause things to manifest in your life that far outweighs what the enemy is trying to do. Ha ha, ha ha ha. Glory to God. Yes. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate. That means no questions asked. No, I wonder if this is some other kind of what. Forget all that. No, he said he wants to demonstrate so that it would clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and his goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Let me read. You don't even have to look this. I don't even care if you guys put this one up on the screen. I'm just going to read it and move. Right? It's like, boom, boom, I'm gone. Boom, right? Okay, so here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Man, I should not have wore this sweater. 1 Corinthians. Love coffee. Okay, I like coffee. I love Jesus, and I love my wife and my son. Okay, and I love my church. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I already read it to you. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither is in the heart of man things God has prepared for them to love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Boom, there it is. Okay, so here we go. I preached Sunday about 15, 20 minutes ago, or however long it's been. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, in the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, in the message, it says it this way. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. Now, he was preaching to Corinth where they were having like crazy supernatural things happening in the church of Corinth. I mean, he was having to correct a bunch of stuff, but that's because they were having so much. You know, the move of the Spirit and crazy, awesome, wonder. When I say crazy, I just mean awesome, wonderful things. But, you know, but what he's saying here to us is, but you will see it and it will be heard because God, by his Spirit, is going to bring it all out into the open for you. Everybody hold your Bible up. Hey, electronic or what, whatever. Doesn't matter what kind you got. Hold your Bible up. Say, this is God's word speaking to me. That word is speaking to you today. And God's saying, I'm so good, I cannot wait till I can just unleash it on you. Would you please grow up so you can handle it? Hallelujah. Boy, it kind of got quiet a little bit there. What you talking about, Willis? Yeah, I know. That's the more mature generation. Okay. Sad thing is that just because you're older doesn't mean you're mature. That's another series that's coming. Okay, here we go. But it'll help you. All right, go with me real quick. How much time have I got? How long have I been going? I got about 78 minutes? Awesome, praise God. I'm doing better than I thought. All right, let's look at this real quick. This is so good. Exodus chapter 33. Man, this is good stuff. Exodus chapter 33, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. Exodus chapter 33. Hallelujah. Come on, where you at there? There you go. Okay. Look at this, what happens in Exodus right here. So Exodus, you know, the Lord's telling, I'm not going to go, don't bother putting this on the screen, but in verse 1 of 33, it says, the Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people who you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go to the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told you I will give you this land to your descendants and blah, 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 blah. And so he's like, come on, let's get going, right? All right? And he's telling Moses to go. And starting in verse 14, he says this, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, he's talking about his presence. If you do not personally go with us, I ain't going. Don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? Right? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. So he's saying, hey, no presence, no go, right? I don't even want to try in my own ability. I do not want to go. How will they know that you are look favorably on us if your presence is not with us? That's why we talk a lot around here about getting into the presence of God. You can actually, the presence of God is not something for a location. You get in the presence of God and then you take the presence with you. Into your jobs, into your schools. Right? Wherever you are, wherever you're going, the presence of God wants to go with you. Right? And in verse 17, he says, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I do look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Moses responded, then show me your glory. And this translation says, your glorious presence. Why? Because you can't separate his glory from his presence. The New King James says, show me your glory. Right? Show me your glory. Show me your glory. What if we got up every morning, starting tomorrow morning, and we said, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. Every day, Lord, show me your glory. All right, I got some things I want to show you here, though, but let's look at this. The Lord replies that I indeed will, verse 17, do what you have asked, for I do look favorably upon you. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. Show me your glory. The Lord replied, watch this. Moses said, show me your glory. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will make all my goodness. Wait, Moses didn't say, Lord, show me your goodness. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I will pass by and I will allow you to see all of my goodness. Why? Because you can't separate the goodness of God from the glory of God. You can't separate the goodness of God from the presence of God. And there's another one I'm going to show you. It goes on to say, so he says, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you, for I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to those I choose. Go down to verse 22. He says, as my glorious presence passes by, wait a minute, up there God says, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass by. Down here, he says, as my glorious presence passes by. See, they're interchangeable. It's all the same to God. His glory, his presence, his goodness is all the same. Right? He says, as my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Now jump over to chapter 34, verse 10, just right across the page. He said, the Lord replied, listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere. Let me read that again. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. God's not done. He is not done. Right? And then he goes on to say, and all the people around you will see the power of the Lord. The awesome power I will display for you. So now, not only is he talking about, Moses says, show me your glory. He says, I will cause my goodness. And then later down, he talks about his presence. And then over there across the page, he talks about, I will reveal my power. When you start talking about the glory of God, God, show me your glory. When God begins to manifest his glory, he is simultaneously manifesting his goodness, his presence, and his power. Let me ask you a question. Would the goodness, his presence, and his power solve whatever thing you're struggling with in your life? See, when we say, God, show me your glory, we're saying, God, I want to see your goodness. I want your presence. I want your power. Right? That would solve any and every situation that you could ever face. But here's the thing. You ready? Bringing this baby full circle. Praise is the key to your victory. See, we don't have to wait till we see it before we can say, God, I'm shouting, I'm dancing, I'm praising God. I thank you. You are so wonderful. You are so awesome, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Your word promised it. I believe it. I'm praising you. I don't have to wait for it to manifest. I know you're going to do it because I count you faithful. How many know God is faithful to his word? Yes. One more verse and then I close. Psalm 107. I'm going to read this out of the King James. Psalm 107 verse 8 says this. Oh, I see that word, and it is like, oh! Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke through the psalmist David. Oh, that men, male men, female men, right? No, this is not gender, right? Oh, that men and women, right? Oh, that my people would praise me. Oh, that people would praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise him for his goodness. Come on, if you started taking some time and just thinking about the goodness of God, getting your mind off of the circumstances, getting your mind off the wind, the storm, the waves in your life, getting your mind off of all that junk the enemy's trying to come, because all he's trying to do is weigh you down. The Bible says that he comes to wear down the saints. If he can just get you wear down enough, then he'll get you to the place where you're like, well, I don't feel like praising the Lord today. You know, you need to say, well, you just need to shut up, devil, because my hands are in the air, my feet are off the ground, and I'm going to praise him in the midst of the storm, in the midst of whatever's going on, because I know my God is working behind the scenes for me. He's making things happen for me. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. It's Christmas time. Hallelujah. Oh, that people would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works that he does towards the children of men. Amen. How many know God is a good God?
Yes.
How many believe that he's doing things for you?
Amen.
Then if he's doing things, we should give him a praise.
Yes.
So what are you waiting for? Get up on your feet, get your hands in the air, and begin to give him some praise. Shout unto the name of God. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. You are so good. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you, Lord. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. How many know he's faithful? He's faithful. He hasn't forgotten you. He's got you right there in his mind. He's like, I got good things for you. I just need to get you to trust me. I just need to get you to trust me. Because I will do what I said I would do. I will do what I said I would do. Oh, that people would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, man, we get up every day. Oh, Lord, show me your glory. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you, Lord, that your goodness is being revealed to me today. Surely good things are happening to me today in the name of Jesus. When the enemy tries to stir something up and make you think that things aren't happening, you need to go, no. Good things are happening for me today. Good things are happening for me today. My God is a good God. He is faithful. He does good things, and he loves his kids. Oh, that I would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works he does to the children of men. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So don't come in here next Sunday and make me have to turn around and tell you to stand up. Man, we should come in on Sunday morning. You know we're going to sing. Don't be coming in here. Oh, I just need to go all nice and comfy in my chair. No, you need to come in. Come on, I'm ready. I'm ready to praise my God. I'm ready to lift my hands. I'm ready to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Come on, we're a praising church. Why? Because we're a church. That's the way we see the goodness of God. So I'm not going to come in here acting like God ain't good. I'm going to come in here, Father, I thank you. Oh, no, you're good. You're too good for me to sit my booty down right now. Man, I got to get up. I got to be ready to praise, man. I come with the anticipation. I anticipate the inevitable, the supernatural intervention of God. Hallelujah. That's the way we need to show up for church on Sunday morning. Man, we're ready to go. If Heather's not up here, say, hey, come on, girl, let's get this thing going. I'm ready to praise God. Oh, we'll give her a little grace. Right? Come on, how many know God is so worthy of our praise? He is so faithful to his word. He just wants to bless you. I just kind of see God sitting on the edge of his throne. Oh, I have so much for you. Come on. Open up the portal. Start praising. Come on. That opens up the portal. Hey, man. Just like, you know, if I put $1 million in your account and said, hey, oh, go down to the bank, man. I put a lot of money in your account. I put $1 million in there, man. You guys can just enjoy that. Ha, ha, ha. And you go in there and you're like, well, no, I don't have the access code. I gave you the access code. 1, 2, 3, 4, go. Well, I don't know if I really trust that access code. No, come on. God says, I'm telling you the access code. It's praise. It's praise. Are you going to come in here like you believe God? We're going to be a church, and then people are going to come in and never been here before. They're going to say, man, these people actually believe God. They're already praising. Hallelujah. Well, they may not say hallelujah, but if they stay long enough, they will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It means to celebrate God. Come on, we're going to come in every Sunday celebrating God, excited for what God's doing, because he's going to manifest things in your life. Amen? Amen. Brent, get up here. I'm going to keep preaching, man. Hallelujah.